Good morning. Welcome to Focus 580, our morning talk show. My name is David Inge, and we are glad to have you with us. We're also pleased to welcome back to the show Sandy Mason. She is a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. And monthly, starting in the spring through the summer into the beginning part of the fall, she is here, and we talk about things that grow in the home landscape, giving you a chance to ask questions about trees and shrubs and flowers and grass. Houseplants, that's okay too. Whatever's on your mind, you can call in. This is the next to the last time this year she will be here. We generally start in March and go till November. So you'll have a couple of opportunities here to talk with her, and then we'll give her a break, and then we'll see her again next year. So whatever's on your mind about any of those things, you know, things that grow in the home landscape, you can give us a call. Maybe you're having a problem. You need some advice. Maybe you were already thinking about next year, what you want to do then. We could do that too. Any and all is certainly welcome. So the number here to call in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line. Good anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. Glad to have you here.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're kind of getting down to the time when things are winding down, mm-hmm. and probably people are thinking about doing cleanup and end of the growing season stuff. And maybe people are already thinking about, you know, looking around and thinking, well, next year I'm going to do this differently.
We're eternal optimists.
Exactly.
Us gardeners,
I'm not going to make
we?
The same mistakes next year. And I'm telling you, the first rabbit I see, Haas and Pfeffer. That's going to happen. All right. I know. You know.
I know. Believe me, I'm there. I'm with you. I'm with you on
maybe
that.
Maybe next year it won't be so good for the rabbits. I never saw so many rabbits as I did this year.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, is it too late if people are thinking about doing anything for the lawn now? Is it too late to do a fall fertilization?
Actually not. The very last one, the most important one that we generally consider is the September one. So it's a little late for that one. But actually, if you're doing four applications a year, actually November we're actually a little early even for that. And normally that's done usually about a week or so after your last mowing. So once you've mowed what you feel is, and usually that's in November, what you feel is probably the last time, then you put on another application of fertilization. And that's it's a great way to sort of get the lawn going, ready for winter, hopefully help some winter hardiness, maybe problems. And then you don't have to do that really early. A lot of times people think they have to fertilize in April or whatever. You don't do that when you wait and do one in May. So it's really a great opportunity to get that out of the way, and then you'll have a nice green lawn even in the spring.
Okay. I guess maybe the other thing that people are thinking about are planting stuff that you can plant now. Mm-hmm. There are, I guess, you know, I was just at the place where we buy a lot of our plants this weekend, and they still had things. They had mums, which are mm-hmm. they claim are winter hardy. We can talk about that sometime too.
I hear skepticism.
They claim are winter hardy, and also one of the things that we talked about, we have talked a little bit about, and I know that people are getting more interested in, are things that are hardy, so you can plant them. They'll flower mm-hmm. virtually until it freezes, mm-hmm. and then they'll come back mm-hmm. in the spring. And they had a lot of these icicle violets mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. that I think are nice plants just for that very thing, because they will flower for a long time, and then mm-hmm. next year they will come back, which is also really nice. And I don't know all that many other plants that will perform like that.
Yeah, actually probably the pansies, and I think the more and more breeding that they've done with them to get that, so they will, you know, be a little bit more winter hardy has been part of our problem, even though they've been cold tolerant for a long time. So they would actually come back again in the spring. Mm-hmm. But even with that, I mean, it's wonderful. I've had them blooming, you know, into November and even in the first of December, depending on how cold it is. So that's pretty exciting if you can extend your season that much and then have them come up early in the spring. But there's lots of things, even like the flowering kale, flowering cabbage, you know, those are very cold tolerant and actually even get more vibrantly colored as the cold weather begins. And even there's some perennials and stuff out there that are really talking more and more about getting those, you know, actually planting them for sort of a late season, some of the coral bell varieties, some sedges, and there's some ornamental kinds of things that you might want to think about even, you know, putting out even late season.
Okay. Here's a caller in Urbana to start us off. Line number one. Hello.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Somebody once said, maybe you know who it was, gardening is a process and not more of a process than a product.
That's right.
So I try to tell myself that. I got a question. I was in a garden center this spring, and somebody was singing the praises of a plant I wasn't familiar with. It's an herb, and he said it bursts into red blooms at the end of the season, and the hummingbirds love it. And he said it's worth waiting for. Well, I bought one. Now it's huge, and it just started blooming like last week. And that seems to be, it's a bit late for the hummingbirds. And can you just tell me what it is that I have? And I'm just trying to decide whether it's worth having another one. I guess it's not a hardy herb.
Oh, is it pineapple sage, maybe?
Maybe that's what it is. I think.
Is it kind of, the leaves are fairly fragrant, has a nice red kind of a spike flower?
Yeah, it's got trumpet-shaped flowers, and they started sort of hanging over. The flower raceme, or whatever you call it, hanging over, and then it straightened up as it started to bloom. I will say, that's probably what it was.
Yeah, that's probably what it is, because the hummingbirds do like it and stuff, and you're absolutely right. No, most of self-respecting hummingbirds are long gone by now. At any rate, I think it's a great plant. It does winter over very well indoors, so it'd be one of those things if you have the space for it. And I don't know how big it is. Sometimes they get terribly large, but if you have the space for it, I think it is a great plant. It does very well indoors, and you could easily keep it and then have it again next year. But and you're right, it's not hardy, so I guess it will flower earlier for you next year, more than likely, if it's getting plenty of sun and now that it's gotten to be a bigger plant. So you might have a little better success with it next year too.
Well, we'll see if I manage to dig it up. Is it likely to withstand some light frost, or do I need to get it before? It didn't seem to be bothered by I guess I didn't really have much of a frost in our garden when we had the cooler temperatures earlier.
Yeah, probably most of the things that we have, I guess I shouldn't say most, a lot of the perennial type of herbs that aren't necessarily hardy but are still perennials actually will tolerate some frost. I wouldn't wait too much later than now, to be honest with you.
The other thing that's blooming in my garden, and it's my first, I guess it's its second year for me, but it's the first time it's managed to get to blooming size, is monk's hood. I'm just looking out the window and seeing this lovely purple and thinking, why couldn't you bloom sooner?
I know. And mine bloomed really late this year, too. I mean, it just started blooming. And so it really bloomed late, too. So I'm not sure. Mine's not getting very much sun, and I don't know whether that had something to do with it. It's getting to be more and more of a shadier spot where it is, and I don't know whether that's kind of delayed it to some extent. But
well, the first time I actually saw some of those was on Prince Edward Island. It was in the summer,
sure.
And I thought, oh, well, this should bloom in July or August, whenever it was I was there for me. But no, it's blooming in October.
Yeah.
The difference in varieties, or, you know, the day would be much longer there in the summertime.
But it could also just be the amount of sun they're getting, those kind of things. And it certainly could be a different variety.
Yeah, okay.
By far.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. We'll go on here to West Lafayette, I believe, here for our second caller. Hello. Yes, hello.
Yes, good morning.
Mm-hmm.
I have two questions. The first one is, what would you suggest to do to get rid of moles? And the second one is, several years ago I heard about using milky spore to discourage Japanese beetles from laying eggs in your lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anything about those?
As far as the moles go, I assume these are in your lawn area?
Yes.
In the lawn?
Yes.
Yeah, it's one of those things that if you do want to get rid of them, but really about the only effective thing is to use traps, like the harpoon traps.
Yeah.
Somewhat gruesome, but they do work. They're not, you know, these guys are ones that they eat insects for the most part, and they eat worms and stuff, and so they're not going to eat poison peanuts or any of that other stuff that's out there. So it pretty much, if you want to absolutely get rid of them, that would be the way to do it. You have to figure out which is the main run, and those are normally the fairly straight run. If you tamp it down, it gets repaired in a couple days, then you know that's a main run, because they have all these feeding runs that they feed and then they abandon, so you don't want to put your trap there because you'll never catch them that way. So figure out which is the main run and use your traps. And I've had some fairly good reports about using some of these repellents, the castor oil repellents. It's actually a spray that you put on your lawn, and it'd be one of those things that you know once you get rid of them, you might think about using one of the repellents. But if you're near a wooded area or a high population area, you're always going to have problems with it coming in, so you may want to try that. As far as the milky spore and Japanese beetles, certainly it is something that wasn't available for a long time. I think it's available again now. It's to kill the grubs is really what it is.
Yeah.
Few things on that is that normally a few things for the most part is to keep in mind that Japanese beetles do fly in and they can fly several miles. So just because you control the Japanese beetle grubs in your yard doesn't mean you're not going to get Japanese beetles, because all they have to do is fly in from the next door neighbor or, you know, a couple miles down the road. So realize, you know, you may be helping to reduce populations, but don't assume it's necessarily going to help you in your yard. So that's one thing to keep in mind. It does work only on Japanese beetle grubs, so it's not going to take care of annual white grub or any of the other grubs that are out there. So that's the other part. And it does generally need a couple years for it really to be effective. So there's several sort of, you know, the fine print there on milky spore. It certainly can be very effective on Japanese beetle grubs, but there's a little bit of fine print there that you have to understand that may take a while for it to work.
What about that product, Grub X? Is that any good?
Now, that will kill grubs of many different species, Japanese beetle grubs as well as annual white grubs. But again, so it certainly will take care of the grub problem when we help your lawn as far as grub injury, but also it's still not going to help the fact that Japanese beetles do fly, and they fly from distances. So again, just because you control them in your yard doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to reduce them altogether in your yard, the adults.
I thought I heard that milky spore discourages them from laying eggs in your lawn.
No, it really kills the grubs is what it does.
Okay.
It kills the grubs. But the problem is with those adult beetles, the way they can fly, and they fly long distances, you know, it gets tough to try to control the grub stage and expect that it's going to help with the adult stage.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, so it's a little tough. So it almost has to be, you know, a citywide effort or something.
Everybody has to do.
Everybody has to do. Yeah.
I tried those harpoon traps, and I never did catch any yet with one.
Yeah, again, I try the, you know, look for the right run. I think that's the biggest thing, because they have so many runs out there. So tamp it down one of the runs, what you think is a main run, and see if it gets repaired, and then that's where you need to put your trap.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. This morning, as part of Focus, our guest, Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County. And in the spring, summer, early fall, she's here once a month. On Tuesday, we talk about lawn and garden care. If you have questions, 333-9455 is the number to call in Champaign-Urbana. Also, we have a toll-free, 800-222-9455. Chicago is next, line number one. Hello.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Good morning.
I bought a jade plant from the supermarket, and there's a little tag, and it just says keep moist and indirect light. Will that plant survive?
They're pretty tough plants.
They are?
Right, and you have it just indoors?
Yes. Facing north, that's all I can do.
Mm-hmm. Well, they actually would probably do a little bit better if they had a little bit more light. You may find that they kind of stretch out in between the leaves, you know, in between where the leaves come out, it might stretch out a little bit, and that's probably what you may notice, but it'll still survive. I would kind of let it dry a little bit in between waterings. Probably a big thing, too, but it should be fine.
If I take one of those plants, it looks like there's a group of them in one pot. If I take one of those out and plant that, would I have more plants?
Sure.
What would I plant that in? Just supermarket soil?
Anything that's well-drained. You want to make sure that it's just a well-drained soil, so I'd get a good potting mix or even one of the soilless mixes, actually, that works out fine for those. And actually, they propagate very easily, even from the tip cuttings, you know, a little tip cutting, actually even from the leaves themselves. So you'll find you have more jade plants than you know what to do with after a while.
Oh, in this neighborhood here, they seem to be putting out something called a cabbage plant that looks kind of good.
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
They're an ornamental. It's either flowering kale or flowering cabbage, and it's one of those plants that we were talking about earlier that really tolerates cold weather very well, and so people are putting them out even with their pansies and some other things just to have some late season color.
How long will they last?
Actually, I've usually had them through December.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right, then. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Let's go to line three, and this caller is in Champaign.
Good morning.
Hi.
I have a question about mushrooms of some sort. They're kind of a puffball in our front yard. There's a lot of shade in the yard, and they are kind of a purplish pink. And if you run over them with a lawnmower, they're really slimy. And I don't know, I don't think they damage anything except that they're pretty yucky.
Is that the scientific term for that?
Yeah, for me. Is there anything we should do about them?
It really is one of those things that mushrooms will pop up because, you know, maybe somewhere along the line there was a tree that was taken down, or they're growing on something that's decaying normally is what's happening. There's something in there that's decaying, and so they're popping up. There really isn't too much you can do about it other than just raking them up as you see them. They generally aren't going to hurt the lawn for the most part with most of these mushrooms. So it's one of those things, like you say, it's kind of yucky, not all that excited about them maybe, but it'd be one of those things that eventually, as that whatever it's growing off of decays, then you won't notice them so much. And it also depends on what kind of weather we have,
whether it's damp or not.
Yeah, how damp it is, those kind of things. So some years you may notice a lot of them, and the next year you don't really notice too many. So
we
kind of just wait them out.
Well, we did get one moral this year.
Oh, wow. In your own yard?
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Did you, like, slice it five ways or something like that with this morel?
No, but we had all the neighbors come over and look at it.
Oh, and look at it. Oh. And then did you eat it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
One.
Who decided who got to eat it?
There are two of us. We share.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, thank you. Let's continue. Our next caller would be in Newman, and line number 4 right here. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
I wanted to get back and ask another Japanese beetle question. My wife found this product that you pour around the base of a tree that's supposed to be systemic, like for a white birch tree that the beetles just absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if you have an opinion on whether that's a good way to do it or if it's harmful to the tree or not.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I've had mixed, people have given me sort of mixed reports, and I think probably what we've kind of traced it all back to is that when you apply it, it's one of those things that really has to be applied since it has to, the product has to be taken up into the tree. The tree has to be actively growing. So you start trying to put it on in June or July or something, when a tree's not actively growing, it doesn't work very well. So you really have to put it on March, April, early in the season when the trees are first starting to grow, so they'll take the product up and then get it within the leaves and stems. And from when people have done that, they seem to have had fairly good results. Now, you have to realize, again, that kind of fine print there, it doesn't mean that you're going to have zero problems with Japanese beetles, because they still have to actually eat the leaf. So you're still going to see some damage from them. But from what reports that I've seen is you have a lot less of a problem.
If you put it on that early, does it last all season then?
Yeah, I think certainly through the Japanese beetle season.
Okay.
So it is one of those things that I think has worked out fairly well, for that particular problem. Again, to lessen the problem, not necessarily get rid of it. So for like ones you know we're going to have a problem, like linden trees, we know we're going to have a problem with linden trees, it might be worth a try.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
It seemed to me that I noticed fewer in my yard. They were certainly there, but it seemed that there weren't quite as many.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of times this summer, Phil was here, Phil Nixon, and he said, well, that what happened was it was cold enough last winter, and it froze deep enough in the soil and stayed frozen for a long time that it actually killed some of them. So that's maybe can account for the fact that there were fewer, and there was a later, well, I don't know if that has anything to do with the late emergence, because they also came, arrived
later.
With the reports that you got when you talked to people various other places, was that true elsewhere, that people said, well, yes, they're there, but maybe they weren't quite as bad as they have been in past years?
I've had a lot of people make that same comment, that, boy, I just didn't notice them nearly as much as what I had. I had, like, maybe 2 out of 10 would then say, oh, I had them just as bad, if not worse, than last year. So it certainly was a remarked difference, I think, between the number of reports that we were getting, and certainly that they came later, which is good. The later they come, the better, because the plants are, you know, hopefully have enough food reserves at that point, and it's not going to be nearly as threatening for them.
Yeah, I guess the bad news is, what Phil says, is that means nothing for next year.
Yeah. Yeah, all bets are off for
that's
next year.
Right, exactly.
I know. I wish we could, make those.
It'd be nice if you could say, oh, well, because, there were, maybe you see fewer of them. Well, that means there'll be fewer adults. Mm-hmm. They'll lay fewer eggs. The next time there'll be fewer. He says, no. No, it doesn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way.
Sorry. On to another caller. Champagne, line 1. Hello.
Hello, Sandy. This is a question about a change in light in a backyard. My neighbor cut down a large tree yesterday, and I had some snowballs, viburnum snowballs, that were growing along the fence line, and they've gotten pretty leggy in all that shade. I'm wondering now, how to best respond.
Mm-hmm.
Do I cut them back to the ground now, let them come up next spring thicker? What would you suggest in terms of pruning? I'm pretty sure that they're going to respond to the new light situation
right.
in a positive way.
Right.
So that's my basic question.
Yeah. I think it'd be one of those things that it depends on how drastic, I guess, you want to get. I think if I was going to cut them down to the ground, I'd certainly wait until next spring, like in March or something. Realize it is going to affect the flowering, which you may not care, you know, for this 1 year. That may not matter to you too much. You just want to get good growth going. You could also just go in there and maybe selectively, you know, thin out some of the, you know, ganglier ones, or cut back, I guess I should say, cut back some of the more gangly ones, and then see how it responds to the added light. You may find that it suckers up more and you get, you know, a fuller plant just from the additional sun. So I guess it depends on if it's not a big deal for you to, you know, cut them back and do that kind of drastic thing, and you don't mind that it's much shorter for that first year, then I would probably go ahead and do that, and you don't mind the fact that you're going to lose your flowers for that year. I would probably go ahead and just do it. If it's one of those situations where you really don't want to lose that cover for that year, then I'd probably go the other route. But I think you'll see... I think you're absolutely right. You'll see the plants will definitely respond to the sun, added sun.
Great. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you. And line number 4 in Chicago. Hello.
Hello. I have a question about planting for next spring. How late can you plant lilies of the valley? And my second question is, my African violet needs repotting. Does that take special soil, or can I use the typical Miracle Growth potting soil?
Mm-hmm. So how late this fall can you plant Lily of the Valley? Was that the question?
Right.
You know, it's one I would plant it as soon as you can. Most of the time, I would say through October, it'd be about the last I would really think about planting a lot of perennials, to tell you the truth. And actually, I think September is probably better when it comes to doing a lot of planting. Lily of the Valley is pretty tough for the most part. You probably
wait till next spring then, if I can't get it in before the end of this month.
Well, could you get even the first week or so of November? I think if it stays halfway decent, you could probably get away with that too. But I wouldn't stretch it much longer than that. Then I'd probably wait till spring.
Okay. And
just to be on the safe side.
Soil for the African violet?
Yeah, they need a well-drained, but something that's going to maintain good moisture. So it's one of those things. There's certainly, you know, plenty of the companies have African violet mixes. I would probably go with something like a soilless mix or something that's meant for African violet, something that's going to drain well but hold the moisture.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks. And again, other questions are welcome. Our guest this morning is Sandy Mason. She is a horticulture educator with University of Illinois Extension in Champaign County. And we do this program monthly on a Tuesday. We start in March, go till November. So if you have questions about things that grow on the home landscape, you can give us a call. Some things going on you might want to talk about?
Yeah, we actually have a couple things going on, and this is something that is important here in the Champaign area, but people can also check their state websites to see when there's going to be a household hazardous waste collection in your area. And you can check the Illinois EPA website, or if you're in Indiana, you can certainly check their website, because this is often the time of year when these collections will occur. This is a great time to think about, you know, if you have pesticides, maybe you've inherited them. That's what I always hear. Somebody moves into a house and they've inherited all this stuff. They're not sure what it is. They don't know how old it is. This is the time to get rid of it. And for Champaign, it's going to be Saturday, November 1st. It runs from 8 to 3 o'clock. It's going to be at the Public Works office there in here in Champaign. And that's on Edgebrook, and it's right next to the Kmart, so if you're familiar with that kind of area at all. But this is a hazardous waste collection. The types of things would be things like oil-based paints. If you have latex paints, you can take care of yourself. Those are ones that you can, even if you can't use them, that would be the best thing to do, is to use them. If you can't use them, you actually can let those dry and harden and then put in the trash. So we don't want latex paints, but certainly oil-based paints can be collected. Insecticides, pesticides, maybe you have old gasoline, maybe you have household batteries, used motor oil, maybe antifreeze, also fluorescent lamp bulbs. I think a lot of times people don't realize you're not supposed to be putting lamps, fluorescent lamps, in the trash. They actually can release mercury and other toxins by putting those in the regular trash. So that's something that really should be taken care of during a household hazardous waste. The types of things that aren't going to be accepted would be things like smoke detectors. computers, any kind of electronic things like computers, those kind of things will not be collected at that time. So this is Saturday, November 1st, 8 to 3 at the Public Works Center in Champaign. And it really is an important time. And this is a great time to clean out your garden shed, right? Get rid of all that stuff. Get rid of it. So hopefully people will put that on their calendar.
Yeah, that's great. And all those other things, too. I had that same experience of when we bought the house that we have, I inherited a lot of paint.
Sure.
And and actually, I'm not. I still have over the years. I guess I've gotten rid of some, but I should go through and particularly call out the if there is still some oil-based paint because
it's important.
You should not. That should not go into the landfill. All of those things you talk about really should not go into the landfill.
Correct. And even things like you know, if you have old fire extinguishers, they're not rechargeable. You know, we always end up with those kinds of things. Propane tanks, maybe you have an old propane tank that maybe is not usable or whatever. But those kind of things are. So this is a great opportunity to get rid of that kind of stuff.
Okay, so that's Saturday, November 1st. Mm-hmm. So that will be coming up. Very good.
And certainly people from other areas, you know, you can bring stuff in, you know, if you're in the Champaign area, you can certainly bring stuff in. We also have, maybe on a little different note, on Saturday, November 8th, the next Saturday, you can enjoy, hear about tree planting. And actually, this is called 20 Minutes in the Life and Death of a Tree. And what it is, you know, more and more are finding out that many of the tree problems really can be traced back to how the tree was planted. And one of the big things that's really coming more and more to light is the fact that trees are being planted too deep. And it's one of those things, you can go out and look at your own trees right now. They should all have a flare at the bottom, like a little skirt at the bottom. If you go in a forest, all the trees will have that, and that's naturally how trees will grow. If you go in your own backyard, you may find some of them are actually going into the ground, and they look like telephone poles. That's not good. That shows that the tree's been planted too deep, or maybe soil was mounded around it, maybe when a home was constructed. So this is a very interesting program. I think people will really enjoy it. It's going to be Saturday, November 8th, runs from 9 to 4. It's going to be at the Lake of the Woods County Park in Mahomet. And it's really going to be an excellent program. And people can give us a call at 217-333-7672. And we'll be glad to help them out with that, with information about this tree workshop on November 8th in Mahomet.
Okay. Other questions are welcome here, 333-9455 for Champaign-Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. Next caller is in Champaign and line one. Hello.
Yes, I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about crepe myrtle in this area. I haven't seen it around very much. It's apparently a pretty tree that blooms in late summer and early fall. And I was wondering whether it was hardy, whether there's some advantages or disadvantages you can mention.
Mm-hmm. Now, where are you located?
In Champaign.
You're in Champaign. Crepe myrtle actually is a beautiful plant, and if you travel to more of the southern states, you'll see they use it actually quite a bit in their landscaping. It has a beautiful bark on it, kind of this wonderful mottled bark, and then these lovely sort of late summer flowers for the most part. Just a beautiful plant. So you can see why people would want to grow it. The problem is it is not really hardy here. We have seen, actually I've seen even in the, I know in the Charleston area, there's a gentleman there that actually grows crepe myrtles, but they generally die back to the ground every year, even for him. So they act like butterfly bushes. I don't know if you're familiar with those, where they get kind of a woody stem, but then they die down the ground and come back up again. So the nice thing is you still get the flowers. You never get to enjoy that beautiful bark that they get when they get older, but they're certainly pretty flowers. So it'd be one of those things, I think it would be, if you had maybe kind of a semi-protected area and get some of the varieties that are reported to be more hardy, you may have fairly good success with them, again, getting the flowers. So it'd be worth a try. I'm not sure much farther north than Champaign just how easy it would be for someone to get them through the winter. So we may be at about the northern range for trying that.
Does it require full sun?
They flower better in full sun.
I've seen them on Cape Cod, which I guess must be warmer than Champaign.
Mm-hmm,
because they don't seem to die back on Cape Cod.
Oh, really? So it'd be one of those things that'd be worth a try, you know, if you want to try them. I'd make sure you have an unprotected area, something like that, where maybe it's not going to get quite so cold.
Okay, thanks very much. Mm-hmm.
All right, thank you. And to line number three, Bourbonus. It's not Bourbon A, huh? Okay.
You know, the schools of thought are divided.
Okay.
I have three quick questions, if you please.
Yes.
First, is it too late to dig up hostas, cut them in half, replant some, and move to a new location and the other half?
Yeah, wow. You know, it's one of those things. I think we're really on the edge of knowing what's going to happen and how cold it's going to get, to tell you the truth. So I would be maybe a little reluctant, to tell you the truth, especially in your area. I think if I had to do it, I'd probably go ahead and do it and hope that it stays halfway warm and they have a little bit of a chance to get established. Hostas are pretty tough.
Yeah.
So I, you know, it's one of those things. Depends on how badly you want to do it, I guess. Otherwise, if you could wait, I would probably wait till spring.
Okay, thank you. Second, every Christmas I buy a poinsettia. After every Christmas, I leave it on the dining room table where it gets full sunlight. And every Christmas thereafter, the same thing happens. It lives till about now, and then just one day starts dying.
Mm-hmm.
And there doesn't seem to be anything I can do. It's just been suggested to me that maybe they get root-bound. But I think some people keep them going for years, but I don't seem to have the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, poinsettias are really one of those things that is somewhat of a challenge to get them to rebloom and to keep them going. But generally what you would do is, once it starts to warm up and stuff outside, it would be a matter of, you probably want to repot it, trim it down, you know, maybe grow it outside in a shady spot so it grows over the summertime and gets nice and full and lush, but pruning it periodically so it doesn't get so tall. It'd be one of those things that probably needs, you know, certainly some extra care during the summertime to sort of get it, you know, healthy. So I'm not sure why it's necessarily dying right now. And whether it's insect problems, they do get a few insect problems from time to time. But as far as I know, there's no, like, expiration date and they automatically die now. I don't think that, maybe the patent people did that with the plants. Do you think they did that?
So
do you have to buy a new one every Christmas? No. I mean, we won't go there. I don't think that's probably what's going on. But I would certainly check it. It would be some of those things. It certainly could get pot bound. They really can grow quite fast. And then normally the 1st of October would be the time where they have to have those, you know, long nights, short days in order for them to bloom at Christmas time.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And the third question is, I have red clay pots both indoors and out. And a few years ago, and I haven't moved or anything, they started to just chip off. The sections of them will just break away.
Had they been outside? In the wintertime?
Some yes, some no.
Mm-hmm.
But both of them are doing that.
Oh, whether they've been inside or outside?
Right.
Certainly if they've been outside, you know, that's can be, if they go through any kind of a cold spell at all, they certainly can bust up or break up. I'm not sure why they'd necessarily do that indoors, and maybe it was just, unless it was just necessarily the quality of the pot. It surprises me a little bit, because usually clay pots will last a very long time, unless they're broken for one reason or another. So I'm not sure what to tell you on that one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
Let's go to, we have somebody on a car phone here, line one. Hello.
Okay. I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
I'm telling you, from no man's land out here.
Okay.
I have had a terrible problem with my hostas this year. I've had hostas for 13 years and never had a problem. This year, several of them came up really puny and stayed puny, and some of them died completely well before the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think I have going on, or what can I do about that?
Did you dig them up at all to see what's going on?
No, I didn't.
I think probably if that happens again, I'd really check and see what's going on. I would wonder about two things. Either root rot problems, which certainly if it was a wet site or got particularly wet over the wintertime, that might be an issue. But I'd also wonder about voles. And that's with a V as in Victor. They love to eat hostas over the wintertime. And they will eat out the roots, kind of thing, and you don't really notice anything above. Sometimes you'll actually see the run above, but sometimes you won't really notice a whole lot until you start digging them up, and then you find there's, like, nothing left. There's, like, no roots. There's nothing. And I'd almost bet it was probably voles, because we had so many complaints this past year about vole damage over the winter.
And I think we lost the caller. I hope that I hope she heard. A vole is a kind of a kind of like
a little mouse.
Yeah,
but last year we had so many comments or complaints, I guess I should say, about people complaining about voles, that they were just eating, and they love to eat out hostas, perennials, anything that especially has a crown to it that they'll eat. They don't hibernate over the wintertime, so they feed all winter long.
Okay. And just for moving hostas, I guess I'm kind of thinking about this myself. When your suggestion is that you wait until the spring when they come up, and so at some point, at what point, like how big would you like to see them before you would say, okay, go ahead and dig them up and divide them?
I think once you start to see some green growth, a little bit of growth, I guess it's kind of white when it first comes up, but just as soon as you start seeing a little growth, you really don't have to wait till they're really big or, you know, anything like that. Once you start to see that they're actively starting to grow, then I think it's a perfect time.
Then you can do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Let's see. Next caller is in Iroquois, and I don't know if that's Iroquois County or Iroquois Place right here on line number 4. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
Sandy, my question is about tree planting, and I can't go to November 8th, but I just have a couple of questions maybe you could answer now.
Mm-hmm.
I was told that the best time for planting trees is in the spring after the frost is out of the ground. Is that correct?
Well, it depends on the tree, but certainly you can plant trees in October. We do it a lot, or in the spring.
Specifically, blue spruce. And I was told that by nurseries that, well, you can plant trees any time. And then I was told by an arborist that's the worst time to plant it, that it needs to go in when it has more moisture, unless you're going to water it every day. And then the other thing was mentioned, just like you, about the not planting it too deep.
Mm-hmm.
And the third thing they mentioned was that ask for I believe it was a nursery planted tree rather than a field-grown tree. Something about root pruning, that they need to be root pruned as they're growing, so that those roots won't, I guess, spread out, and then when they're dug, that they will be damaged too much.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything in your experience that goes along with that?
Well, I guess they're talking about how the trees are managed, because certainly, although nurseries wouldn't necessarily do this, I wouldn't think, but at any rate, sometimes they might actually root prune them, you know, before they're actually dug, so that the roots actually send out some new little roots off to the side, so that when they dig them up, you're not losing quite so many roots. They've actually recovered a little bit. And I would think some nurseries would do that. I'm not sure I know that most nurseries do that.
I think this is when they were actually being grown, that periodically they need to be root pruned.
Right, I guess that's what I was saying, that they would do that, and then the it gives the roots a chance to sort of spread out a little bit and recover in that same area where you know that the root ball is going to be. But I'm not sure they're always treated that way, so I guess it depends on where they're coming from.
You have to ask them.
Yeah, but I personally haven't had a problem with actually planting, you know, evergreens in the fall. I've actually planted them even after Christmas, to tell you the truth.
Oh, when you buy a tree.
Yeah, when you get a tree for Christmas and you grow, and I've been successful at that from time to time. So it's one of those things that, you know, perhaps the arborist had other experiences with that.
Well, he was telling me maybe 50% chance to get a blue spruce to grow through if you planted it now, that it's better to wait till spring.
Well, probably ideally it'd probably be better to wait till spring, but it's I guess it's just up to you on whether, you know, we don't always deal in ideals, so I guess we'd like the world to be that way, but it doesn't always. So I guess it's up to you. If you can wait till spring, then I would just do it then.
Okay. The other question was about a crimson maple. I think maybe might be called Japanese crimson maple. We bought a small one, put it in, and watered it. It looked pretty healthy. Now it's losing its leaves. Is it typical for this tree to get bare in the winter?
Right. It normally would be losing its leaves.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're drying up. It's a fern-like leaf.
Right,
It will lose its leaves.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure will.
Well, thank you very much.
Good luck.
All right, thank you. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580, and our guest is Sandy Mason. She's a horticulture educator with U of I Extension in Champaign County, monthly, starting in March, going through to November. She's here. It's almost on a Tuesday. We talk about lawn and garden care, and whatever questions you have, they're certainly welcome. 333-9455, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Next caller is in Urbana, line number 1. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Sandy?
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in learning a tiny bit more about a shrub that is a sort of a lilac. I think it's called Syringa microphylla,
mm-hmm.
and it blooms, I think, in July or so. Our neighbor has this plant, and I think that's what it is. I looked in my horticulture encyclopedia, but theirs is really not a very good shape because it's an almost total shape,
mm-hmm.
shade, and it
mm-hmm.
was just, you know, it just had a few flowers on it, so that's how I tried to identify it.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right that there is such a thing that blooms later than the normal lilac?
Mm-hmm. It blooms later. I'm not sure it blooms in July, though. I'd be
okay.
more inclined to say June, but it does bloom later than the typical big lilac. They have a much smaller leaf. That's probably the biggest
yeah.
thing.
Just now, is that
much
the,
smaller leaf.
Is that the same thing as the Korean lilac, what they call a Korean lilac?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I think that's actually a different species, which has, there's a couple of different lilacs besides the big one, at least a couple that we see around. And one has sort of a little medium-sized leaf, and then one has a really small leaf.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a couple of them out there that you'll see that are quite popular and you'll see quite readily. So there's, I'm not sure that when we start talking about common names, I'm just not real sure on that one. It may be the other one that's called Korean.
Okay.
But they're nice plants. They're great plants. They need full sun. That's probably the biggest thing. I think they're much better landscape-type plants in a lot of ways than the big lilac
mm-hmm.
because they don't tend to be as gangly. They tend to be much more shrub-like, those kind of things. So I think they're great plants given the proper area.
Does the microphylla then top out at quite a bit lower than the ordinary
mm-hmm,
lilac?
Mm-hmm. Usually these are, depending on the variety, you'd really have to check, but most of the time it's like 5 or 6 feet, probably. If they're not touched at all, they'll probably top out at that.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly could be pruned periodically.
So they are available around here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I will look a little further then.
Okay.
All
good
right,
luck.
Thank you
thank
for
you.
The call. Up next, we have caller in Champagne and line 3. Hello. So call there and Champagne, line 3?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was wondering, is it getting too late in the season to plant spring flowering bulbs, or is it just about the right time?
No, go for it.
Okay.
Go for it. I don't know if you want to do it today, but no, it's fine. Certainly through the month of October, and even probably through the first week or so of November, I wouldn't wait too much later than that.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks. I know some people would say, as long as you can work the soil.
I know. I've
if it's not frozen like a rock and you can actually work it up to get the bulb in,
and
it's
I've
okay.
even had people tell me they get out their augers when the ground's frozen and they plant them even when the ground's frozen, and they tell me they still have okay bulbs. But, you know, again, it's that ideal thing. Is it fair to the bulb? I don't think so.
I never really, you know, I have to admit.
Give it a chance. Give it a good chance.
I'm a bad person, and I never really thought about the feelings of the bulbs. I never really thought that they had feelings.
See, Dave.
But that's, you know, you ask people and they'll say, yeah, well, that's just typical of him. He wouldn't think of the bulbs' feelings. Oh, no. Let's talk with someone in Georgetown. Line 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
My gladiolia leaves are still green.
Oh, wow.
Would it hurt to dig them up, or should I wait until those leaves die down some more?
Actually, you could go ahead and dig them up if you get a chance now. I think I would do it. They're pretty well gone, but I'd probably go ahead and let them just dry down natural and then just just pull them off once they dry down natural.
Okay. Thank you. Enjoy mm-hmm. your program.
Sure.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
On to Champagne for somebody else here. Line 1. Hello.
Hi. I'm wondering, I have seen a product in one of the stores that's supposed to be for spraying on bulbs to keep animals from getting to them. Do you know if that's effective? We have squirrels that just dig them up. I don't know if they eat them or if they just dig them. Do you have any other solution?
Actually, there's a couple things that I've seen out there. It's either a pepper-type product, like a hot pepper product, you're supposed to mix with the bulbs. Is that kind of what this is supposed to be?
You know, I'm not sure. It was a spray bottle, and I thought, I'm going to have to stop and look at that, but I was worried that day.
Yeah. And I've had some people said they haven't had the best of luck with that. It's one of those things with any of those repellent kinds of things. If if the squirrels are, you know, if there's plenty of other things out there and they have plenty of other things to worry about and mess with, you'll probably be okay. But if it's, if you have lots of squirrels, high populations, lots of competition, and you just dug up this wonderful spot, easy digging, they're probably going to find them. And the repellents may be less than what you'd like in the way of control. So if you have really a lot of problems, you almost have to go with something like a chicken wire, hardware cloth kind of a thing to help protect them.
Bulbs can get up through that and it's not a problem?
Yep, and you can either put it either across, I've seen people put it across the soil and then put mulch on top to keep them from digging, or you can actually make these what they call pillows, these sort of chicken wire pillows, and you can buy them or you can make your own, and it basically is just something that you'd put in with the bulb. When you plant the bulb, you sort of put them in this sort of pillow thing, and then you close it up, and then so they're in their own little cage. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're in their own little cage, and then that will help protect against squirrels and voles and some of the other things that we've mentioned, and that's probably going to be your best bet in the long run.
And those would be available at hardware, home center places?
Yeah,
stores.
Right. If you want to buy the pre-made pillows, you probably have to order them in the catalogs. I'm not sure. I've seen them at garden centers. You probably have to order them. If you're going to make your own, anywhere of the hardware stores, home supply places, you can get chicken wire. Just make sure that it's a fairly small mesh.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks so much.
Good
All
luck.
Right, thank
Bye.
You. And we have time for other calls. You want to give us a call, 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. I have some iris that I planted in the fall of last year. This year, they sent up greenery, didn't get much in the way of flowers. I'm hoping maybe, you know, next year they would do better. But so something that I heard about that I'm a little concerned about is there's a borer that apparently will get in there and will just turn them to mush.
And
the standard advice is, well, you just, because there is some mulch in this area, you want to make sure that they actually stay kind of dry. You don't want to be damp. So periodically I try to get the mulch back from around the base of the foliage. And of course, anytime it rains, it redistributes it. And then I have to keep doing that again. And I guess I'm wondering how much of a problem that is. And how worried about that should I be?
Well, iris borer can really be devastating especially if you have a lot of irises, and that's probably when I've seen it the most, where people have lots of irises. But the other thing you can do is actually just good sanitation. Actually, the iris borer is a moth. It's actually the adult moth, and she lays her eggs in September or so. So, and she lays them on the leaves. So, like this time of year, if you actually just trim off those leaves, and probably a lot of us had grandmas that did that every year, and we didn't really know why that they're just cleaning up. They were actually just really doing a good job of sanitation, gets rid of those eggs. So get them out of there, bury the leaves or whatever, but get those leaves out of there. And a lot of times that is plenty. And when it comes to just sort of preventing the problem. So
even though
those
leaves are still green now, it's
just
okay to cut them out.
Yep.
Cut them off.
Yep. Get them out of there. And then that will help immensely as far as just controlling them, so you don't have to worry about it later.
Okay. Very good. Let's talk with someone in Lovington, line one. Hello.
Good morning. You're just talking about keeping squirrels out of bulbs and stuff. We just taken buy a real cheap coarse ground pepper, sprinkle real thick on top of the ground.
And what is it again? I'm sorry.
Just black pepper.
Pepper.
Oh, okay.
And that's worked well for you?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Well, it'd be one of those things that'd be worth a try if people have it. I think it's one, what I've seen with repellents is, boy, it just depends a lot on the number of squirrels or whatever that you have out there. So it'd be worth a try.
The other thing that you have to do is you have to redo it every time it rains.
Oh,
that's one of the disadvantages.
Okay, thank you. So
right,
you buy it in giant gallon things of pepper.
Well, pound can.
Pound can of pepper. I love it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, down at the store, you get a reputation of being, so boy, you must really like pepper.
What's he doing?
What's he doing with all that pepper?
You know, I should say, you know, I actually have an iris blooming right now.
Really?
Yeah, the rebloomers. If you haven't discovered the reblooming irises, you might want to think about those. But I have this lovely yellow iris right now.
All right. Well, we're out of time. We got to go. Remember, though, if you're interested in gardening, there's a show that you should know about on WILL-TV. It's called Illinois Gardener. Diane Nolan is the host. Thursday nights at 7, they have various experts on the show that you can talk to. So you might want to check that out. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sandy Mason, a horticulture educator with U of I Extension, Champaign County.